Hey everyone, welcome to the Worktime Fun Podcast. I'm your coworker L, and let's get started. On today's podcast, I am joined by my great co-host,
Marvelous Marky.
All right, Marvelous Marky. Hey, what's up? How's it going?
It's going. Still whistling.
Oh man, you know that's a pain to edit out. I'm gonna be leaving it in.
Okay. For anyone that doesn't know, those are my nostrils just whistling.
Yep. And I tend to leave those in sometimes. All right. So this past week, we had some unfortunate news. I hate to start with such a bummer, but Akira Toriyama, the creator of the Dragon Ball franchise, huge franchise, we unfortunately passed away. We got the news that he passed away on March 1st.
That's right.
I'm sure his family and loved ones had time to grieve first before it was publicly made.
Yeah, so I heard he had a private funeral, so.
I don't know if it's true, but I heard he had a brain tumor or something. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. But it was a subdermal hematoma.
Okay.
I don't know medical terms, that sounds pretty bad. And he was only 68 years old.
That's right.
So it's not like he's old or anything. No. I mean, older, but not old.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about, man, he's so young. We still had so much to go. But, yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I don't know the Dragon Ball franchise and everything that Akira Toriyama's work. But, you'd be a fool to not realize the influence that this man has had in manga, anime, and just, the whole world, right?
Yeah, pop culture, everything, man. His work just, it was just above and beyond everything.
For me personally, I know I grew up watching Dragon Ball Z, even later when Kai came out, Dragon Ball Kai. Actually, one of my earliest memories I remember was, do you remember those music videos where they would use clips from Dragon Ball and put like Papa Roach or Linkin Park or?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Oh man, I used to watch those all the time in the early days of YouTube.
Right.
I think that was like, 90s, 2000s, something like that. I was like, oh man, it looks so awesome. It just, it just pumped you up so much more.
So. Right. My intro to Akira's work with Dragon Ball was the original Dragon Ball. I used to wake up at 5 a.m. to catch that along with Ronin Warriors. So that was those were the two shows I would always wake up early. Right before school, I would watch them and then get ready for school and then leave. But yeah, definitely been a big fan of his work. I played Chrono Trigger. Chrono Trigger is my favorite JRPG.
Oh, yeah. He has involvement in that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I know there's a lot of video games that he's worked on. Dragon Quest is another one that he's
worked on. Oh, yes. That's huge.
I mean, there's so much. There's so much more than I can say myself.
Exactly.
I'm aware of. Another thing I just want to say, even a couple years ago when Dragon Ball Super Hero came out, I took my son to the theaters to watch that.
Right.
Yeah, and we're just like, oh man, I'm glad I was able to do that and have them, just experience it, especially in the theaters, because, man, that was never a thing back in the day for me at least.
Oh yeah.
So, I thought that was cool.
Yeah, even in like middle school, high school, a lot of my classmates would be drawing, Dragon Ball characters. We used to have those like Jinko pants, the baggy pants. They would be drawing people in the Japanese Dragon Ball style. Converting people into anime characters with Dragon Ball, yeah.
It's funny, it's kind of considered being geeky or nerdy.
Right.
But I don't think it was that bad, at least in our area where we were.
Yeah.
Like in my area. But, it definitely didn't make you popular. Yeah, just want to say, my respects to Akira Toriyama and to his family, I hope that they find peace in this and, just that he'll be sorely missed.
Yeah, thank you for your contribution to everything here in pop culture. And, your work just went so... It transcended so much. Thank you.
And now, moving on to our main topic, we are going to be discussing Solo Leveling Episode 9, titled, You've Been Hiding Your Skills. I know last week, Marky, you said that Episode A was a little bit lackluster for you. Is that right?
Right, only because of the whole lack of action. But I understand they've got to stretch the story out, or they've got to actually add to the story more than just the action.
Yeah, actually, some things I did, I just kind of went through our last episode and I kind of jotted down some notes. Notes in the sense that, you know, because we're anime watchers only, so we don't know what's going to happen next with the story. And so we kind of just made kind of theories, guesses about what's going to go on or what's going to happen. And I just wanted to make note of some. We are missing Raymond, so, but I will mention stuff that he also guessed or theorized. Like, one of the things was, after that episode 8, Raymond was like, will Jinwoo get to the demon castle before the season ends? You remember that?
Yes.
I think we both agree that that's not going to happen.
No, definitely not.
I mean, I have a feeling that there's things that's still going on. Like, we were saying, oh, he still needs to get through this, you know, dungeon, the D-rank dungeon with all these guys, especially the prisoners.
Right.
It'll probably only last the one episode. I mean, we know now after watching, but yeah, theorizing then. But even then, we still have, what, 3 episodes left? 10, 11, 12?
Right.
Then season's over? Yeah, that's way too quick to get to the Demon Castle. The other thing I pointed out is, why is there an exodus of hunters? Is there just too many of them are dying or what? It hasn't been really explained yet. So, is Jinwoo will not kill the extra party raid members for their 19 raids? I think we'll eventually get to that, but I don't think that's going to... He's not going to kill them. He's not going to pull the bad hunters.
There's no way.
Yeah. Oh, here's the big one. Raymond predicted that Mr. Kim would die in the dungeon. I said that, no, Jinwoo's there. He's going to be able to save them all and keep them alive.
Oh, that's what you asked?
That's what I said.
I don't remember. I was hoping he wouldn't, but I don't remember what I said last week. It just, he had the red flag on him. Like, oh, man.
Yeah. Well, you guys were mentioning about how he was talking up with his family and say, oh, it's just going to be another D rank. No, no sweat.
Right.
And then so he's like, oh, yeah. He's definitely going to die. Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. The other things I talked about, okay. Will Jinwoo's sister, realize that he's really changed? And then the other one is Kang Tae-shik, that B rank overseer from the Hunter Association.
Right.
He won't participate in the dungeon raid. Will he just oversee the prisoners? Which we find out.
Like slap him in the back of the head when they get out of line and stuff. Yeah.
A little bit more. We'll discuss that in a little bit. Ooh, you mentioned, Marky, that is Jinwoo losing his humanity the more he levels up? And I was in agreement. I said, yeah. You kind of see that from the beginning when he was just so meek and just like, oh, you know, he's humble and up to the point where he starts getting. At first, I said it was confidence. If I listened back to some older episode podcast, and then as he kept going on, then it just started being more cold, it seemed.
Maybe like more robotic, more like a Terminator, you know, losing that.
You mentioned that last time too, I think. But yeah, I know Raymond said that he never had any humanity. He was just a born kid. I was like, come on, man.
Watch episode 1 again and, you know.
Yeah. Definitely. Make him watch it again. Yeah, some of these theories and guesses I've had from the last one, I was like, eh, whatever. Does Jinwoo become evil? That was the one from Raymond. we got a long way to go for that one, so we'll see. Will Jinwoo heal and someone will see him? Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I think we're going to find that. Yeah, we found that out. And then some of the other things I said, like for me, I said the outro is a Jinwoo in insane asylum because of all the outro video inside that room. I don't know. We're still too early for that one. But then the biggest one, as I said, is next episode title, which is You've Been Hiding Your Skills.
Right.
Obviously, someone's going to find out about Jinwoo's powers. Lo and behold, we have the whole episode that we just watched.
Oh, no, I was just saying it was titled correctly, properly.
I mean, right in the beginning, as they're heading into that dungeon, I think this episode starts off with them, like, or with the prisoners killing off goblins and just saying, how easy this is, right?
Yeah, it jumps right into it. They're already in the dungeon, yeah.
It gets to a point where there's a fork in the cave. Well, not a fork, but, like, there's three paths that they can take.
Yep.
So they split up, Jinwoo and Mr. Song and Joo-hee, they take, like, the left path.
Right.
And then it was Mr. Kang and Mr. Kim take the middle path.
Exactly.
And then the prisoners. Kang Tae-shik take the right path.
And they would just meet up in the middle or something like that. Yeah.
And he said, hey, just yell out if before you reach the boss or whatever. I think because it was leading to the boss fight. But then before he gets to that point, you see that Mr. Kang and Mr. Kim, actually it's Mr. Kim, I think, that caught Kang Tae-shik killing the prisoners.
Oh,
right?
Man.
The luck. Whoa, what the hell? He's like lifting that prisoner up by the neck, just holding him up. The thing that surprised me was I would have never imagined that someone like him in a Hunters Association was so twisted that he would just want to go around and kill people like that. I mean, I guess they kind of explained it, you know, like when they got the backstory about how that one person was trying to, you know, bribe him money to kill the prisoners because they made his daughter kill herself or whatever. And then Kang Taishik is like, yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm doing this because I want to kill people. I was like, what the hell? This is like a total 180. Like from the time that when he visited Jimmy in the hospital, you know?
Yeah, well, the man that was offering it, like, I guess he offered him money. I was like $13 billion or something like that. It was a lot of money.
Yes.
Kang turned around and he got the evil face on. Like, oh, he was doing it for more than just money. Or specifically like to torture or like treat humans like beasts. Right?
So it's interesting that there's more of that showing up now. Because before it's like, oh, you know, you got regular hunting parties and, you know, everyone's working together to just survive.
Right.
But then as Jinwoo is getting stronger and, you know, dealing with these, you know, higher ranked than he was previously.
These guys start coming out of the shadows and stuff.
All these bad guys start creeping up. You know, like the bad hunter group that was trying to betray them. They're all like C rank or D rank, whatever. And then Kang Taishik, I think he's a B rank, right?
Right.
B rank assassin.
Right.
And it's just like the higher he goes, the more like corrupted these people are. Oh, man. So it's kind of in the web flow of things. It's like, man, is it really the stronger you get, everyone becomes, you know, more evil or messed up? I don't know. What do you think?
And it's just coincidental, I guess. But they just reveal their true colors when Sung-woo is ready.
And then so other things that happen in this shit. So unfortunately, they all die. I think the part when one of the guys, I don't know if it was Mr. Kim or Mr. Kang, yells out. And then, you know, that alerts Jinwoo and Mr. Song. And they rush over there. And then, oh, crap. See those guys. Like, oh, no. What the hell? And the crazy thing is they don't know right away because Kang Taishik, I guess he's stealth or he's hiding. Right?
Right.
And then they're just looking like, oh, what happened? And then. And it was like, oh, it's too precise. Blade, you know, like the cuts, the injuries on them was like too precise to be a magic beast. I don't think they really noticed until he actually tried to strike against Juhi, right?
Yeah, Juhi was goes up to Mr. Woo, I believe, and Kim, and tries to heal him, and then try to figure out what happened. That's right.
The first cool thing that happened was when Jinwoo like grabs his arm and stops him from assassinating
the reflex, Jinwoo. Man.
I'm like, whoa, okay. He's got fast reflexes there. There's my boy.
You've been hiding your powers.
Yeah.
Your skills. Okay.
But this isn't having to reveal anything.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, okay, hey, you're pretty fast for an E rank there.
Yeah.
That I guess everyone's still assuming that he's still the same E rank and maybe a little bit stronger, but still a weak.
Right.
So Mr. Song, you know, steps up and says, all right, let me handle this. The one-armed. Interesting thing that he pointed out was that he's a magic user.
Yep.
He's a magic caster. Or he awakened as a magic user hunter, magic-based hunter, and not, it's called a warrior or attack. I don't know what class that's called.
A mage.
Well, yeah, a mage, magic user. But he normally fights with a sword. You know, that's his strength, like in normal world.
Is it called a kumdo teacher or something like that?
Oh, kumido? Yeah. I think I said before it was like kendo kind of or something like that. But Mark, you mentioned about Mr. Kim.
Yeah, Kim Sang-chik. Yeah, he was the guy that we were betting on. Is he going to die in this episode? You know.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. What was doing while Juhi was healing him?
So yeah, you were saying when Sung-woo's party comes up and they see everything, all this like this murder in front of them. They see Kim. They see, yeah. Sorry, guys. This Kim is against the. I guess he's against the wall. And Juhi goes up to him, starts healing him to find out what happened. You know, and he's apologizing. Kim starts apologizing for everything, and Kim says, "No, it's too late for me. I'm gonna die anyway." So, you know, and that's when they take a step back. I think that's when Kang. Starts to attack, and then that's when Sung Jinwoo stops him from stabbing Juhi. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that was one interesting moment because Mr. Kim was one of the guys that left him in the double dungeon.
Yeah.
Just one, you know, they're kind of safe, you know, in the blue flame and yellow flame kind of situation.
Right.
But then he's like, oh, I've got a family. I've got to.
Oh, gosh.
I got to leave. Jinwoo is all like,
I have a family.
You have to live. I can't blame you. You know?
Yeah.
Man, you guys were right. He didn't make it. Him be talking to his family like, oh, yeah, it's going to be easy. Foreshadowed his untimely demise.
Yeah.
Or timely demise, right. I guess. That's when we get into the whole action here. And man, talking about action, I did not know what to expect. Honestly, I was just flabbergasted. I was like, man, this is awesome.
Yeah, it was like nonstop.
Yeah. It just kept going. The things I like, okay, let's talk about things that we like. I like every time that Jinwoo would like stop the Kang Taishik from like attacking or doing something. I'm totally skipping over Mr. Song's fight with him. You know? I mean, that was pretty interesting because he was a C rank, right?
Right.
Mr. Song's a C rank. And then he had Juhi like buff him up with like, I think, the strength or something. He did fairly well because, you know, he's a really good swordsman.
Yeah. And he's thinking logically. He's like, okay, so I'm the highest ranked fighter. I'm probably, you know, he not knowing that Sung Jinwoo was, you know, where was, yeah. Obviously. Yeah. So he took the responsibility, mm-hmm. You know, and he tried to take it upon himself. But, you know, hey.
Yeah. No way. No way. Gets a B-rank assassin type. I mean, but he had some pretty good skills. Like, he was totally using the sword to keep the distance and do those kinds of attacks. Yeah. And then just when he thought was the right moment, tried to do the magic-based attack on him.
Yeah.
But, of course, couldn't do anything.
Maybe if he still had both arms.
Potentially, yeah.
Yes.
He had half the strength. Unfortunately. But then, just as he's about to die, then, of course, Jinwoo steps in again. Like, right. Bam, stop. And it goes into their fight. I think the best parts for me was just Jinwoo. Pretty much, you're kind of getting to the point where, okay, they're kind of evenly matched between him and Kang Taishik. Right off the bat, you're like thinking, okay, man, Jinwoo's probably like B rank right now because he's keeping up with this guy.
And they use similar weapons. I think both daggers
both daggers. So, you know, the other guy, Kang Taishik's like assuming, oh, he's an assassin type,
right.
which kind of is. Yes. You know, that's what, you know, right. assassin type people use, a dagger.
Right.
You know? So they're keeping up in speed. And then, oh, man, Kang Taishik, like, he like disappears and he gets that stealth mode.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man.
Is he on Bloodlust? Like, I forget if he was already on Bloodlust.
At that moment?
Yeah.
I think it was starting to before. I'm trying to remember. Because at some point, the system went up for Jinwoo saying, hey, you have to defeat this guy before.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah. That's when he's like, okay, yeah. Stop playing now. Let's do this.
I remember a line in there saying, hey, can you like lower your Bloodlust? Even the system knows something like that, right?
Right.
I don't know the exact words, but just something along the points where Jinwoo is just mentioning, like, dude, even the system knows you're evil. Yeah. Put it, simmer down a bit. I think that was initially how he was able to track, because he was kind of, he didn't know exactly where Kang Taishik was going to attack him, because, you know, he said you can't tell the senses or completely, I don't know, how do you use, it nullifies all the senses.
But he was blocking, it looked like he was blocking the attacks effortlessly until that point.
For the most part, in the beginning, until he, like, started stepping up, I don't know, and it started slicing him up. And then, like, oh, once he got his leg, and it's, now you can't do anything, now you can't keep up your speed. And then what's Jinwoo do? It's like, oh, full recovery.
Now, does he have, he has a lot of those stored up, because those are daily rewards, right?
Yeah, he didn't need it from earlier. Okay. So he just keeps on. Like, every time that he's like close, like, he just keeps it in store.
Okay.
I'm sure if he does like a daily quest, he just
he has a lot of it. Right.
Like, he doesn't need to rest after his daily.
This guy.
Not anymore.
Right.
In the beginning he did, but now it's just like, whatever.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So he probably just has like a stock of them in his inventory. That's awesome. Full recovery. Full recovery. Full recovery.
Just from daily training. Yeah.
So I think that was a moment, you know, they all realized, holy crap, what's going on? It's an assassin type, but then he just healed himself.
Right.
And then, like, what the heck? So he's a combat type and a healing type.
The system's so overpowered.
Yeah. I think from that point on, I don't know if it's that point on where he did that, like, effortless block. Because I think the bloodlust from Kang Taishik was just so much that he could sense him.
Right.
So before, when he was having trouble, I know it was after the full recovery moment, I'm sure. And he just started blocking all the hits and everything.
So yeah, so he hits him with that poisonous dagger, and then Kang, I guess he gets poisoned on one of his eyes. Yeah. He starts feeling the effect. Just to jump a little forward, so I know Sung Jin-woo, when he activates Bloodlust, it's like this like shadowy creature. Like Kang sees this shadowy figure in front of him, right?
Oh, you know what? I get what you mean. I think it's translation. So depending on what
he gets what, scared. Okay, no, so no, each no. person I mean, that gets
the translation. So Crunchyroll might be different. Did you watch it in Crunchyroll?
I did watch in Crunchyroll.
So I watched it on a different website. I've also kind of compared it to some stuff online. I think the translation's different.
They each call it fear though.
They don't call it bloodlust. In the one I was watching, they call it murderous intent.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah, that was
okay.
The skill.
I see.
So he uses the skill murderous intent, which for you is also bloodlust, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, was that what they said in English version dub, or is it the subtitles that you?
No, I saw it off. I was reading a review or a recap on it.
Oh, okay. Watch out for those, because those could also be like from the manga.
Back and forth, yeah.
Yeah, with all the different sources, or just people's translations of the words. You know, from the Korean manhwa to Japanese, to English, yeah.
But when I watched it, well, you watched the same thing where the eyes just pop, or whatever it's called. Kang looked like he was in fear. He was just frozen in fear, right? So
it was Jinwoo's domain expansion.
Okay.
And that's a Jujutsu Kaisen reference.
Yeah, right. So we don't know how long that guy was like stuck in fear, but when he woke up from it, he had the dagger in his heart.
Yeah. Oh, that was... Oh, wait, no. Even better before then. I think this was when they first started fighting. Jinwoo does that little Goku warm-up.
Oh,
yes. Well, that was in the beginning. That was like
reference to Goku, yeah.
Like, oh, man. Just wanted to reference that. The Goku, deep Dragon Ball reference there.
Getting serious. That's cool.
Yeah, the murderous intent or bloodlust, as you probably saw in your translation. I was actually looking at the, or rewatched the Cerberus episode, because my son's also watching the anime, but he's a little bit behind. And I was like, oh, he did try to use it on Cerberus, but it failed. So we never got to see it in action. Gotcha. So this is the first time for us as viewers seeing the bloodlust or murderous intent activated and actually work on someone.
Right.
Oh.
Cerberus.
And it looks so menacing, because it's just like, it like just goes dark and then just the eyes and then... The guy's like, what the hell's going on? And like you said, oh, that dagger just starts slowly like digging deep in the middle of his chest. He's like, oh, yeah, this is over.
And the poison, too.
Yeah, everything that's just sliced up in there. There's something interesting. I think from that moment, that's when we pose a question, yo. When Jinwoo becomes stronger, does he start losing his humanity? And then I remember that there's a part.
Like a flame goes off, out. Right.
Yeah, he talks about that. But then Kang Tae-shik, after they're having this, he's pretty much dying. He's like down, he's dying. And then they're discussing like, what are you? And then Jin was like, I have no idea myself. I'm still figuring it out. He's just say, let's just say that every time I fight, I level up or something like that. And then he's like, oh, what do you think of that? Or something like that. And then Kang Tae-shik pretty much says this line. What's that line? I'm looking it up real quick. Oh, he says, you just killed me, so your little E-rank act is over. And Jin was like, let's say that I'm a hunter who gets stronger with every battle. And Kang Tae-shik looks at him. They say your shadow stretches, and then probably you'll get as strong as these. Oh, wait. Let me go back a little bit. I was trying to say what Kang Tae-shik was saying.
You're the same way you and me were killing machines at this point, right?
Yeah. It's pretty much... And what I realized, he was actually saying this quote. I was like, oh, where have I heard that before? So this whole part where Kang Tae-shik was talking to him, pretty much dying, there's this quote I saw online. If you stare into the abyss long enough, the abyss stares back at you. That was Friedrich Nietzsche. I'm not sure how to say his last name. It's like, this show just puts in a whole bunch of different references from different things. I'm sure there's a whole lot they're probably missing. I'd have to do a deep dive on all the shows and episodes. The point I'm trying to make is that they probably... made it kind of evident here that, Jinwoo, he's kind of going dark.
Yeah, Kang, what did he say, Kang Tae-shik? Yeah, no, the quote that you were saying, right. If you gaze for long into the abyss gazes also into you. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and that's a quote from, that's an actual quote from someone in real life. That's just something I wanted to point out because it was just, he is losing his humanity. So I don't know. This could go either way by the time, we're done with the series. I mean, not by the end of the season. It's too short. But, like, down the road, does he lose his humanity? Does he just stop caring about people? You know, does he actually turn evil?
No, I don't think he turns evil. I think he's just more mission focused. Mm-hmm. Unless he doesn't put up with the BS anymore.
No more stuff. He's just straight up.
He turns off his social media and he just gets to work. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, this was an action-packed episode. I was just like, man, this is badass. I can't wait to see more of this. I don't know about you, but...
Yeah, no. I like it. To quote what Sung Jin-Woo says, he says, the stronger I get, the more I feel something inside of me falling apart.
So, oh, yeah. That's all part of the whole his humanity thing, just kind of crumbling away as he gets stronger. And again, it's kind of like everyone else that we've been seeing. The stronger people are, the more messed up they are.
Right.
So I was like, geez. And then it's even more evident because of the bad party hunter, you know, the other younger brother is S rank. And right away, he's all like, oh no, I'm going to kill Jin-Woo and Jin-Ho because they for sure killed my brother.
Right.
And they wouldn't believe that it was like just, oh, dungeon problem. You know, dungeon killed his brother. Nope, those two.
Yeah.
And that's an S rank, dude. So, I mean, that's how that episode ends. Jin-Woo goes and he pretty much tells Mr. Song and Ju-Hee, hey, you know, get out of here. I'll take care of the rest. And then he goes in and just like, you don't really see him fight the dungeon boss.
You don't.
It's just clear. At this point because he's a D rank boss. He's already killed a C rank. So.
Right.
But then he's like, yeah, I got this.
Not a problem for them. And then Kang's supervisor, who was also in episode 3 with Kang when Sung Jin-Woo woke up from the double dungeon, right? Mm-hmm. So that they could test his, if he was reawakened.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So that supervisor was oblivious to Kang being this murderous guy behind the scenes. Oh, and yeah, so before Kang dies or something like that, the party that Song Jin-Woo was with was saying that, oh, how are you going to hide this? How are you going to hide your, you know, powers? Or I don't know if that's exactly what happened, but they were, you know, they were talking about that stuff. Because when he gets out, you know, how did this E rank survive in the C rank? And, you know,
mm-hmm. All this how did they get out? Yeah. So when that supervisor, what's his name? Chihul's. Jay Chihul. Oh, man, I'm butchering the name. Sorry.
It's okay.
But anyways, yes, Kang supervisor. Uh-huh. So when they finally get out of the dungeon, he asks him, hey, what happened? How did you guys survive with Kang T-Shik? He's a B rank hunter. How did you guys survive? That's when Jin-Woo almost, like, you know, confessed. But then Mr. Song covered him up.
That's saying, right.
I did. You know, I defeated him.
Good stuff.
And then, like, he's like, how did you do it? You're C rank. Oh, with the help of Julie. My friend here, Ju-Hee.
Yeah.
The B rank healer. So he's like, eh, I guess. Probably.
At the same time, Song Jin-Woo was, he was measuring him up. The supervisor, he's like,
I can't. He's like, look at, oh man, he could see his aura because of his perception scores, right? Like, oh man, this guy's strong. He's in A rank. So I don't know. At this point, is Jin-Woo just like,
I can take him.
Yeah. No, well, he said he can't. I know. Yeah. But is he undervaluing himself? Because last time, you know, the first time that he undervalued himself was, well, he's done it a lot. But the most noticeable one for me was when he one-shotted that golem, right?
Jeez, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, one-shot that golem. He's like, oh, you know, it must have been weak already. I just helped them take it down. But then he was the only reason why they were able to take that golem down.
Oh, I see. He's underrating his skills, his abilities to defeat people, right?
Yeah. So, like, you know, he's a lot stronger than he thinks.
I'm sure he is.
I'm sure it's weird because he's in a leveling system. Mm. Whereas people are just, hey, you're, you know, S through E. you're assigned this level power based on, you know, whatever, you know, measuring tool they have. I guess it is kind of tough. He does have to test himself to see, like, okay, how strong is he when he fights these monsters? Like, can I take it? And he constantly has to do that. So I think that's more along the lines of what's going to keep happening the rest of the episodes, I guess, right?
Right.
I'm just looking through here real quick towards the end.
Ju-Hee gives him this artifact. I'm sure we've seen it before. Do you remember this?
That was the artifact that Jin-Woo gave to Ju-Hee when he pretty much sacrificed himself in the double dungeon.
Oh, is that what he won from that dungeon? The dungeon before the double dungeon, and he gives it to her.
Okay. He's like, oh, I finally got the crystal.
Yeah.
And then she's all like, oh, take me out to lunch. You don't remember?
Right.
Yeah. I do. We're going on a date, whatever. And he's all like, here, take it.
Got it.
Yeah. go on that lunch that I didn't promise you.
Cute.
But I don't think she says anything after
it. No, it jumps to the end credits.
That's it. And then, oh, episode 10. What is this? A picnic? I have no idea. We have to theorize about this one.
I don't know.
So episode 10, last three episodes. Before we get there, review of the episode. What do you give it?
Oh, I'd give this maybe a 9.5 or a 10 out of 10. Yeah, I really, you know, it exceeded my expectations.
Exceeded expectations.
Went back on track to what I'm used to.
Marky just wants the damn action going through. Like, yes. Yeah, it's like slice and dice, get them. Yeah. I like a mix of both. So I get it. I do like to have a good story, which it's cool. We're seeing all these things like, oh, the return of the double dungeon, like survivors and all these different stuff and a little bit of backstory to these characters who just end up dying anyway. Oh, man. They all became cannon fodder. all just died. The prisoners, the double dungeon people. Well, not all of them, but you know what I mean. And then, so it is kind of pacing out the series, and that's why definitely they're not making it to the fire tower by the end of the season. You know, they're just basing it out.
Right.
And so I think if we have a good mix of like, okay, the way I see it, it's like one episode story, second episode fighting. So we kind of got that pattern. So it's not always feeling like it's filler.
Yeah. You kind of feel for Mr. Kim's family. He told his daughter he'd be strong enough, but
yeah. Sorry.
That's how it is.
Sorry. Hope you had good insurance. Oh, man. My bad. No. So, yeah. So, next episode, we could suspect or expect a story episode, I guess, especially with a title like that. What is this? A picnic? I'm assuming between Juhi and Jinho? Or not Jinho. No, Juhi and Jinwoo.
Maybe they have a picnic and there's an attack or a portal opens and they have to get to it. I don't know.
Yeah. You want to theorize that?
I guess. What is this? A picnic? No. It's a dungeon.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. Anticipating, waiting for the next episode. And yeah, I mean, as we're coming to a close, I think we're going to be jumping on into some other shows or series, right?
Yeah. End of March or? Yeah.
Yeah.
Things starting to
so get back. We should start blending some in. I mean, we've been stuck in anime for a while, but I'm enjoying it. So are you enjoying anime?
Oh, yes. Me too. Yeah. So I mean, we're definitely going to finish Solo Leveling. We can't make it this far and not finish it.
So. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. We're going to definitely finish it. So I think from jumping off that point, just so our listeners know what to expect, we're still going to be in this kind of space, not specifically anime, but whatever else is entertaining in this space. I think that's it for us. So, Marky, do you have any last words for everyone?
Let's see here. Looking forward to episode 10.
All right. So, yeah, nothing else. I think that's pretty much it for me too. So I hope you all enjoyed our podcast. I hope you all enjoyed listening to us. So until next time, have a fantastic day. Hey guys, thanks for listening to our show. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback for us, you know, we greatly appreciate that. If you can send us an email to worktimefunpodcast@gmail.com, or you can send us a message at X, you know, formerly known as Twitter, and our handle is @worktimefunpod. Thanks again.